Hi, this is the Creative Entrepreneur Success Club recording week 3 Q&A, and I'm speaking to Kathy, and she just raised an interesting point about, do I want to mute everybody? Because I hear all kinds of, all right, never mind. About how it's, you know, the feast or famine thing of when you have money, hopefully, you know, it's a good idea to save some, but I think that it's challenging, but if you can do it all along, like when you have a regular income, but it's not not a windfall, but even when you don't, just you have, if you're putting stuff away all along, then you can have the feeling you've got a little extra, I think.
You know what's interesting is that, you know, that's been my parents' mantra for my whole life. Save for lean times.
Yeah.
And it never did. And then we finally did this last round of life in Wilmington. We were like, okay, let's set this up right so that when we move, we know what we have and we know we can survive and we've got a cushion room. We had a 6-month cushion that he spread out into a year.
Yeah.
And he still didn't get a job for another year.
So that was, wow. So it's never enough. Kathy, I think it's great that you had a good week, and so that's a great celebration. I'm going to go into Q&A mode, and actually I'm going to unmute the person who just came because I want to know who they are. Hold on now. Hi, who just came on the call?
This is Kim. Can you hear me?
Kim, I'm so glad you're here. I didn't know you were going to come. I thought for some reason I got an email that you were not. So welcome. Any celebrations?
I got to see you this weekend.
I know. That was wonderful.
And I had like 7 hours of unstructured time on the train back home, which was just delightful. And I managed to get some research done and figure out a new approach for gaining some more demos. And I also managed to do at least the email aspect of my prospect follow-up this week.
Oh, congratulations. So, how productive was that? Were you on the train with Rob the whole also? Did he go back?
No, I was all by myself.
I was wondering. I was going to say, he really left you alone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, no, Rob and Sky, my teenager, are headed for South Carolina to
visit
another college. So
that's right. The tour continues. So that is.
I have 5 days to myself.
Oh my God! Now if that isn't something to celebrate.
That's the major celebration. So I don't want to say it too loud because you know my mother will.
You know what? Let's not jinx it. Yeah, let's not have any. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. All right. So Katarina Verde is here. We are in Q&A mode at the moment. So let's see. How do I? I think I'm in Q&A. So, was that you who coughed, Katarina? Because it should. I haven't unmuted you. No, that wasn't.
No, I'm Kat. That was Katy that coughed. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So I'm not sure why you're not muted, but hold on a minute. Now you are, and now Kim is. Although in Q&A mode, I think everyone should be. Katarina, how are you? Katarina. You are unmuted, I thought. Let's see. No, you're unmuted. Click to mute. Click to unmute. Katarina, could you say something? Or if you did and I didn't hear you, just type something into the chat. Hello? Hi, announce yourself when you come to the call, if you would.
Katarina.
Hey, there she is. Hey, okay. It's funny because I see your name show up before you actually get into the meeting room, which is weird. And then I hear the ding. Now I know to listen for it. So anything to celebrate, Katarina?
Well, Not a whole lot.
Oh, whatever. It can be very small. It doesn't have to be enormous.
Well, okay. I guess I finally, yeah, I have a few little things. Well, I finally got a few pieces made, produced that I've been having sort of these crazy delays on. So it means that I'm kind of committed to making this new body of work. So that's a little nerve-wracking.
Wow.
But good. And I've been finishing up some writing. I'm just trying to move along is what it is.
Yeah.
And I have to admit I've been actually kind of struggling just with feeling a little not unmotivated, but
So that is a good lead in to laser coaching. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unboot and reboot Q&A, and when you see I'm going to start it up again, and I want folks to raise their hands so that I can start with the laser coaching one at a time. So here we go. Yes, so questions, please, or issues, or whatever, Katerina, whatever you were just starting to talk about in terms of motivation. I'll wait a minute while you all figure out the technical aspect, or unmute yourself by clicking *6 if you've called in and you're not at a computer, and I'll see that you're unmuted. Okay. Oh, this is for Wiley. Okay, Katerina. So continue what you were saying, please, about motivation.
Oh, okay. So, I have to be honest. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, except that it's something that, for some reason, I've been struggling with it, and partly it's maybe because I feel overwhelmed with so many different things to do that. I'm trying to break some old patterns. So,
what old patterns are you trying to break?
Well, just to take care of everything else and everybody else before I deal with myself, and right. That. So I'm. So that's. So I mean, I know what I have to do. I just have to do it.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, in a way, taking care of other people is such a fabulous form of procrastination and smokescreen. So the fact that you're trying to stop is really exposing, I would imagine, the motivation issue that you're having. And I'm wondering I think wanting is powerful. And part of not feeling motivated is not really being in touch with what you feel you need to do mattering enough.
Right.
So what's going on? Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on, what could be going on with that? Things not mattering? What doesn't matter enough?
I think it's not so much, that's true. There's this thing of like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, it really doesn't matter. It's, you want this, but that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's if you see about just the times that we're in, the political, I mean, I'm not going to go off on a tangent.
No, I won't let you.
Don't let me. But you can easily get into like, wants and needs are somewhat trivial or whatever, or this is a bit foolish and narcissistic, or you can have these different things, but really,
so what's foolish and narcissistic? What are you labeling? Because there's a belief here going on, and what is it that you're labeling foolish and narcissistic?
Well, really, for me right now, I kind of can't believe I'm saying this I'll say it anyway. It's just about making my work and getting it back out there again in a serious way. And I think sometimes that's what's foolish and narcissistic.
So I'm wondering, is there some altruistic thing that you feel you should be doing, something more altruistic with your time? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, but I mean, it is definitely a conflict. I mean, I know that when I'm making my work, that's when I feel my best, and that's when I have more to give to other people.
That's right.
So it is a kind of, it's a foil to some degree. It's a kind of a foil.
So what have you been putting off? That's a good recognition. What have you been putting off that needs to happen?
Well, I think I've been... I think it's not so much putting off things, because I actually am getting some things done. I think I'm not getting them done with the kind of careful attention that I would like to have. And, you know, the sense of importance about it. It's just like, okay, you know, just do it, get it done, you know. But I do think it's important to, you know, do something with a certain kind of attention.
So you don't have the motivation to attend with interest and excellence that you have had in the past? I think
that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, I'm rushing to get stuff done that's for my work, because I'm trying to get a bunch of other things done over here with other things, and not really taking the time to go, okay, you know, really give myself the attention and give the work the attention that it deserves to have. Right. So I think that's where I'm feeling a little out of sorts, because,
A couple things that can help. First of all, I would look at what time of day you're doing your work. I'm wondering if you're putting it first before these other things you, quote, you know, that you have to do. You know, is it happening when you have the kind of energy you need for it?
Yeah, I think that is a very good point.
And if we have time, I'll come back around. But if that is a good point, what needs to change this week?
I think I need to start my day giving the attention to the things that I usually wait till the end of the day to do.
And what can you do to make sure that that happens?
Well, I think I have to just schedule out the time, and I think I have to just have a certain amount of self-discipline around it.
Well, you know, you would have if it was that simple, I think. But I think maybe also you are shining a light on the lack of motivation and the beliefs around not mattering. So I think hopefully that will help. But hopefully also you're talking about specific planning and scheduling. So if you plan to do your work first and then schedule things after it and make commitments after that.
Right.
Then that would be, let's see how that goes for you.
Yeah.
Don't commit to anything before you. That's the daily appointment you have with yourself.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, right. I mean, one other little quick thing, and I don't know if anybody else has this, because, you know, you've known me for a long time, but, you know, I was always very strong about my work and very, you know, actually quite confident about my work, and I think I've had a certain loss of confidence, which, you know, that's something I think by doing it and starting to get into it and, you know, I will get that back, but
it's sort of a vicious cycle. The lack of motivation, and maybe because you haven't put the energy, it's kind of like you're proving something to yourself by not feeling you're getting the quality you need. So of course, I would think the sense you have of confidence around it.
Yeah, is smaller. Anyway, yeah. So I'll let you get on to other people.
No, but don't go away.
Don't go away.
Does anybody hear this feedback? I hear an echo of myself.
I don't.
It's so darn annoying. Okay. Well, good. Yeah, hang in there with that because I think immersion is key here. Immersion and feeling, right?
Yeah.
Really being more fully immersed in the work in ways that you have in the past. And you might think about what allowed that immersion to happen.
Yes.
Okay. So, good, as we say. And somebody else want to talk with me a little bit? Do a little, there she is. There it is, Miss Caddy. All right. Okay, so what's going on, Caddy?
Well, it's more of a comment than a question. I can relate.
But we're not going to coach each other. We're not going to coach each other. So here's what we do.
Okay.
Just so you know, because it's not a conversation so much as I'm going around and doing laser coaching with each person. Hopefully, the Facebook group is where you post those sorts of insights and comments. And interact, and you can also plan to connect offline and between these meetings. Okay, but that's the format I want to set up here, unless I, you know, open the floor. Okay, so if somebody else has a question and wants to do some, you know, wants to explore an issue, please raise your hand. Otherwise, I have some stuff that Sarah emailed me since she couldn't be here today. All right, then. Just a minute. Hey, Kim. So what's up?
Hey there.
Hey.
My question has to do with something I bump up against quite a lot regarding making follow-up phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I just loathe them. I would rather clean the toilet three times over than make.
I bet you do.
I just hate it.
What kind of follow-up calls?
Well, I got some good prospects from the last game demo I did, five of them.
Right.
Two of them in particular, the conversations were pretty lengthy for this kind of venue, so I know that they're definitely interested. So I followed up with all five by email, which I don't have a problem doing at all.
Right.
But the next step, particularly for the two that were particularly warm, are phone calls. Now, in the meantime, one of them did email me back, but I was out of town, and I somehow didn't get the email. So I was late in following up. I emailed her, didn't hear her from her back, and I decided to call her the next day.
Okay.
I did. I left a message, and now the plan is, if I don't hear from her by tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to call again. But I guess my question in general, and I know it's always case by case, but what constitutes being a pest?
What constitutes being a pest? Calling every day, I suppose. I have a tickle in my throat, which is not helpful. I may have to get a glass of water in a second, but we'll see. You certainly don't sound like you're a pest yet. I want to know what the fantasy behind that fear is. What do you think constitutes being a pest?
I think the belief system, and I'm encountering some unconscious beliefs that sort of run me with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think some of the things that I encounter are if I am in need of something and it's not readily available, then by asking, I'm getting into pest territory. And it's for me, it's a very high bar. I mean, I look.
What do you mean it's a high bar? What's a high bar?
It's really hard for me to make an ask
okay.
in general.
All right.
And I know that about myself. So I can usually get past the first ask.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've done with this one.
Right.
Left a message, done an email.
Mm-hmm.
And now to go to the second, it's just hard.
I know it's hard, but I'm having a couple things come to mind also. First, there is a belief there around it being okay to ask. But
yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you something. In sales, that's actually a term. Do you know that? The
no,
ask. The ask. How many asks are you doing a week? You have to actually ask for sales conversations, which is what you're
yeah.
trying to get. So, and you know, there's a whole formula, as a matter of fact, for the number of asks you need to do in order to get the number of sales conversations you need to have in order to close the number of people you need to close to meet your bottom line. And I'm wondering if these two people who were interested in the last demonstration, if somehow there aren't, each ask is so precious because there are so few of them.
Right, right.
That you're putting even more pressure on yourself and almost like, well, even if I don't call them or get back to them or connect, at least they haven't said no yet because I haven't contacted them. But, you know, the outcome,
right.
Well, yeah. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. I think it's a numbers game, and so the emotion, I don't know if that helps, but for me, thinking of it that way, the ask is just, you know, it taking the emotion out of it. It's
yeah,
a numbers game.
Taking the emotion out of it, that's exactly what I need to do.
Right.
But I think there is, yes, there's...
What is your close rate, would you say? Like, how many people do you need to talk to before one of them says, gives you their credit card number? How many people do you have to talk to?
I'm not sure. I mean, if I can get a conversation with somebody,
yeah,
I can usually do okay.
So that's pretty good. You probably, yeah, that's really good. So
if
you should probably just have...
Wait.
I'm sorry.
If I can get a face-to-face conversation with somebody, I can
I
do
see.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I hate talking on the phone. I just hate it.
Okay, so you know what I would like to recommend that you do with your accountability partner? You need
okay.
to practice. You need to practice phone call sales conversations.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah. You and Sarah need to get on the phone, and you need that second half hour to be about you doing a sales conversation with her. And a sales conversation isn't a sales conversation unless at the end you give your prices and ask for money. Yeah, if you don't ask for the business, it's not a sales conversation.
Okay.
And it sounds like, you know, you should be having probably 2 sales conversations a week, I would think. I mean, you've got to figure out the money also and what, you know, there's a whole, the stuff that goes into this, but, you know, the networking events are asking opportunities when you go out to
oh,
a
yeah.
networking event,
definitely.
Right? All right.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So shoot for as many asks as you can and take pressure off there being so few that you're afraid of the follow-ups.
Well, okay. That's probably a good idea.
Let's try that, and I hope by the next time we speak, you will have had a couple of, you would have done, let's set a numbers goal. Let's say, because we're going to skip next week, how many asks can you do between this call and the next call?
I can probably do 5.
Great. And out of that five, you're going to have one sales conversation with Sarah, and we're going to count the practice conversations at this point. And
we are.
Okay. Yes. So, but I would say if you're going to do five asks, let's see, you should have at least one more sales conversation. Preferably two,
okay.
but if you're going to do five asks, let's see if we can get two more sales conversations, three sales conversations between now and the next time we talk, okay?
Okay.
Now you got homework, girlfriend.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Good, 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 good. I'm moving on. Anybody, so who else has, have you thought of questions while we've been doing this little bit of laser coaching? You know, we've got time. I haven't, Caddy, I don't think you've asked a question yet. So if there's something, I will take you first. If you have something that you want to tease out a little. Otherwise, anybody else can put their hand up again. Anybody else, like we're thousands of people here. Okay. Okay. All righty, Caddy, shoot.
Hi, I was thinking about this all week about This is my crux right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have two different lives going on. I've got this constant sort of manic, just keeping it all moving forward and trying to take care of business every single day. And then this whole other future that I want to get to. And I feel like the current reality demands, it's like an infant. It demands so much attention
mm-hmm.
that I can't quite figure out, and there's no regularity to my schedule. So it's not like I can say from 9 to 10 every morning, I'm going to XYZ.
Right.
So
right.
How to stay
laser
focused, let's use that, laser focused on the new future that I want to have and not lose sight of it on any given day.
All right, well, here's, first of all, life's going to keep coming at you. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there'll ever be, quote, a right time. And I also know that this is a time of great transition for you. But it sounds like, first of all, you have a vision for this future. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's funny because this is getting into a little one of the questions that Sarah had, you know, in terms of creating a deadline and so forth. The vision is very important because there are different elements of the vision. And I can't believe that there isn't one element or another that you can't break down to small enough steps that you can start to do a little something every day towards your vision.
Right. Yeah.
So can you talk about the vision a little bit? Let us all in on this.
I had my own bookkeeping firm for a decade after working in corporate America bookkeeping, and I didn't like the actual nuts and bolts of doing it. But what I liked was when I first got clients and I got to clean them up and organize their files and their computer systems and that stuff. So
that's good background. We have the background. You're an organizer. So what's the vision for the future?
Vision for the future is to work with small businesses predominantly. And now that I've had so much experience, that's of this bar, to actually really hone in on working with bar owners and restaurants, small coffee shops, restaurants, and bar owners to help them with their, so that the owners can have better systems and the employees have a more structured environment to work in, and it's just better, faster, easier, and more successful.
Now, I know that you are starting to work, you're using your situation at the bar you're working in now to build up a case, kind of a display situation in a sense, and get a testimonial that way. And I think that's great. But even if you're not finished getting the bar you're working at to the point you want, I don't know, the phrase save the date keeps coming to mind. I can't help but think there aren't people you could be letting know that you're going to be hanging this shingle out.
Right. Networking.
You might even start talking to other bar owners about what it is that you're moving into for a business. And start to get a list. Right? And at a certain point, I mean, you know, I think, Katty, you're somebody whose life has sort of evolved, and I think a certain amount of that kind of synchronicity is great, but you don't want to just get blown around like tumbleweed either. So I think, you know you're going to need clients. I think it might be fun for you, before anything else, now that I think of it, is to just crunch some numbers. Think about how many clients you're going to need to make your baseline income doing this.
Mm.
Just that much. So, because that's the beginning of a business plan.
Right.
All right? Because then you have something specific to shoot for.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
All right. So that is a small task you can do now, and it doesn't matter what else is happening in your life. Is there something...
It's exactly on it, to stay focused on that basement level building of the business.
Yes.
And just do it every, I got my phone with me all the time. So do it on the phone every day. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There
Excellent.
You go. Thank you.
All right. Boom, boom. Okay. All right. Well, I am now going to look at, because I like talking to the folks who are here on the call first and making sure everybody has what they need, and if you think of something, actually later, of course, after I finish, if we still have some time, answering Sarah's questions, please put your hand up again. But I'm offering, if anybody wants to put their hand up now to have a little more of a conversation, please do that. And you'll have a chance again a little later, so... All right. So, that's very good. And you can put your hand up anytime, because when I'm ready, I'll get you. So as soon as you think you have something you want to address, that'll help me also pace myself in answering these questions. If you have something else you want to address, put your hand up. So, interesting. So Sarah writes to me... let's see. She the worksheet that I had in the last recording, I guess, we were trying to figure out what matters, I think, and what people were spending their time on. Pipe dream plus deadline equals goal. Yeah, that's right. It is as simple as, does the pipeline, she's asking if this is the formula, pipeline plus deadline equal goal. Yes, it does. It's the first step to setting the goal, giving it the pipe dream a deadline. Of course, if you just stop there, you're going to be overwhelmed and lost. And if that's resistance, that is how resistance figures in. I think resistance is very interesting because, frankly, it usually shows up when you're trying to do something and there's a step you should have taken before. You know, you're feeling resistance because you've forgotten something. There's something missing, right? For instance, I was talking to Kim about asks in sales conversations. She needs to get more comfortable with asks. So before she can do that, I want her to just practice selling. I want her to just have a sales conversation with Sarah. So really, the resistance is you can't just push it aside. You have to, invite it in for tea, as the Buddhists would say, and figure out what that resistance is. It could be as simple as you need to break the thing down into more steps, okay? And that is what that's what goes into creating a deadline. Now, I like to work backwards. So I think Sarah's deadline, if I recall correctly, has to do with a business where she's going to be sort of a writer's coach, more than an editor, but she's going to coach other writers. So to have that business in place, she needs to work backwards. Flowchart style. What has to happen before that? She has to have the clients. What has to happen before that? She has to meet the clients. What has to happen before that? She's got to go someplace to meet the clients, and so on, until you get to the steps you can take this afternoon or tomorrow. That's how you break it down. Okay, that's how, and then so there are internal deadlines to the big deadline. So the flowchart can help you pick the deadline also, because you can estimate how long each of those steps is going to take. You know, if you think about it, how long is it going to go? Is it going to take me to at least have one client? I could probably at least start the asks and the sales conversations next week by going to a networking event. And frankly, if this is the kind of business you have, I would say everybody here, even if you're an artist, it's about asks, right, and sales conversations. You got to start going to networking events. I got to get out of isolation and start going to places, gallery openings, wherever your folks are. In Sarah's instance, maybe it is readings at Barnes & Noble. I don't know. You know, I would say that is how you pick the deadline. You have to work backwards and, you know, and figure out all the interim steps and how long they'll take. And then I often say to people, double it. Because, you know, overpromising and underdelivering is a surefire path to discouragement. Okay. Now, and she asked another question, how can she call things important if she's not willing to put deadlines on them? Well, you know, Sarah, when we have our laser session, you know, and by the way, only two people have signed up for laser sessions, folks, and April's almost over, get to that link, schedule your laser sessions. You and I, Sarah, need to have a conversation about why you're not willing to put deadlines on things. That doesn't mean they're not important. That just speaks to the resistance, most likely, that you were referring to. Okay? I have a feeling the answers have to do with personal value and personal significance. No kidding! However, that's as far as my logic takes me. Very good. That's very good reasoning. That's very good reasoning. So, those were Sarah's questions. The Q&A floor is still open, and I would say to wrap it up, I'd love to go around, and everybody, you know, we're not going to see each other for 2 weeks, so I'd love to hear two actions from each person, one that you can take each week, or maybe you'll take them both next week, I don't care, two actions from each person that you will have taken by the next time we speak, I believe on May 4th, so please raise your hand when you are ready to share those. Chatty, you never did get off the Q&A, so I'm going to unmute you. What are two actions you're going to take in the next 2 weeks?
Well, I'm going to find a place to live.
Okay, great. I like that. Boy, I like that. That's a good hard deadline. And that's big. And what's one that pertains to your vision? What's the action you're going to one action you're going to take that pertains to your business vision?
Well, from this conversation today, I am making a commitment to myself and to this new business that every day I'm going to do something.
Excellent. Brava. I love it. And you know what? I would go so far as to say every day, please post what it is that you do on the Facebook page, because I want to see it.
Accountability. All right? Got it.
Please, yeah. And that goes for everybody else. I want to hear how the sales conversations go. I want to see what the actions are that people are taking. Okay? All righty. Anybody? I'm just going to start unmuting people. I don't care. I'm going to be ruthless here. let's see. What happened here? Kim, what are two actions that you are going to take in the next 2 weeks?
Kim?
Okay. Hi.
wake up, folks. Yeah. Just teasing.
I'm going to do the five asks.
Beautiful.
And I'm also going to contact at least three HR associations that have regular monthly meetings who are looking for presenters.
Beautiful. Okay, excellent. And Madam Verde, Katerina, what's happening between now? What are two actions you're going to take between now and the next time we speak?
Okay, so we're meeting in 2 weeks?
Yes, we're skipping next week and meeting the week after. That's right.
Okay, so I have two things that I've been avoiding.
Okay, so very good.
I'll do those things. So one is there are a few curators and people that I need to reach out to, and and so I'm going to do that. That's one thing.
Okay.
And I think, you know, at least if I think I can write a few, you know, reach out to a few people. And
now these are more than two things, folks, by the way. I'm a softie, I guess. I mean, to me, five asks is five actions, but but go ahead. So you're going to reach out to some curators, and was there something else you had on your mind that you want to commit to?
Well, there's a whole list of things, but I think that I can definitely do. There's also
that's
somebody
significant. Yeah.
And there's somebody that I know who has a foundation, and I want to approach her about, you know, possible funding. And she actually reached out to me this week, surprisingly.
Oh, excellent. Oh, wow. I'm not surprised.
I've done work for her before, but I want to approach her. She does have a foundation for artists, and so I do want to approach her. I don't, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I want to do it. I want to try it.
So do you have a clear sense of how you're going to approach her?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay.
I think I do. I think I gotta tighten it up, you know, and I gotta be, you know, ready for whatever it is, but I think I think it's a fairly friendly atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I think if I'm gonna try it on anybody, this is not a bad way to start.
Oh, great. Okay.
I don't think it's gonna, you know. I think I have a good opening. So, yeah.
All right.
So that's what I'm going to do. Curators and fundraising.
For curators and fundraising. Brava. Okay. So fantastic. We got some nice goals set up. Folks in the listening audience, you should also come up with two actions that you are going to take before our next session on. Wait for it. I'm going to give you an exact date. That's the kind of gal I am. Hold on now. On get the Q&A thing out of the way. Yeah, our next meeting will be on May 4th. Okay, so two actions by May 4th, and please post them on the Facebook group. The other thing I'd like y'all to post on the Facebook group is how many times you met with your partner. I know it might have been a little rough and tumble because we're just getting started, but I just want to see what the results of that are, because, you know, it was sort of a little challenge, our first little challenge. I want to know what the actual numbers are, how many times you were able to speak to your partner. And is there anything else? I'm trying to think. Yeah, May 4th, accountability partners, post your actions on the Facebook group, and use your accountability partners for things like practicing, rehearsing, you know, things, and brainstorming. I'm very curious to know how those relationships are developing. So, everyone, thank you, and have a great week, and sign up for your goddamn laser sessions. Okay. You know what? I might even post the names of people who have not signed up for their laser sessions yet, or I will shoot you. Yeah, but will I do that kind of pillar in the village square thing? No. I'll just shoot you a message to remind you. All righty then. Be well, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.